Hi, welcome to We Lectures. We are on chapter 10 and we will see who is a banker. Let's summarize up till now what all we have covered. We started with the evolution of banking in the world as well as in our country. Then we saw how the banking structure was established post-independence and the various development institutions established by the Reserve Bank of India and the Government of India in order to do banking business. We saw the definition of banking, which is simply accepting money for the purpose of lending or investment, and this money is basically accepted from the public, which is repayable on demand or otherwise, which is in the form of withdrawals by checks, orders, etc. But can anybody be called a banker? For the sake of banking company, we saw a definition in the Banking Regulation Act which says any company which does a banking business. But that is talking about a banking company. But who is a banker? Is a banker and banking company one and the same? So chapter 10 is going to explore the real meaning of the banker, and for understanding the banking fundamentals you need to know who is a real banker. So let's begin with who is a banker. Before understanding who is a banker, can we say a moneylender is a banker? In ancient India, or even before independence and to some extent post-independence, this moneylenders were doing a business similar to the banking. So can we call the moneylenders as a banker? The moneylender depend on their own resources and do not accept deposits from the public. If we go by the pure definition of banking business, which says accepting of deposits from the public, which is repayable on demand, the moneylender is exactly doing the opposite of the banking business. What is a moneylender doing? A moneylender is depending on his own resources. So that means he does not accept deposit from the public. So there is no question of repayable on demand. So the first part of the moneylender does not tally with our definition of a banking company. Sometimes the moneylenders borrow from friends and relatives in case of needs. If there is a heavy demand from their clients, the moneylender sometimes borrow from their friends or relatives to meet the demand of their clients. Such money is not deemed to be deposit accepted from the public and so are not considered as the bankers simply because they do not do the banking business as defined in the Banking Regulation Act. So we can conclude that a moneylender is not a banker. For this we have a decided case in the form of Kadiresan Chettiar versus Ramnathan Chettiar. What was the decision given in this case? The Madras High Court has held that while a moneylender lends his own money, A banker lends the money of his customer. So this particular judgment has clearly established a difference between a moneylender and a banker, which can be said as a moneylender uses his own resources, whereas a banker uses the money which has been accepted from the customers. Everybody is aware about the Hilton Young Commission, which in fact had recommended the establishment of the Reserve Bank of India. It had also submitted a definition of the term banker, which said the term bank or the banker should be interpreted to mean every person, firm, or a company using in its description or its title the term bank or banker or even banking, and every company accepting deposits of money subject to withdrawal by check, draft or order. Friends, like this definition, we are going to see some other definitions also given by leading authorities in banking, and finally we are going to arrive at the definition of a banker which has been provided by our Indian law. So before we directly jump into the definition as provided by the Indian law, let us have a fair idea about what these experts had to say about the word or the term banker. Dr. Herbert Hart defines banker as one who is in the ordinary course of his business, honors checks drawn upon him by persons from and for whom he receives money on current account. So here the current account is simply termed as a deposit account. Dr. Herbert had given this definition long time, so the concept of a deposit account was also termed as a current account or a checking account. So this definition is based on the number of English court decisions. So a solid definition which says one who in the ordinary course of his business honors the check drawn by persons who maintain current account with that entity which is called a bank. Helsbury in his Laws of England defines a banker as an individual, partnership or corporation whose sole predominating business is banking. So an individual, a partnership or a corporation whose sole predominating business, which means the core business, is banking. And what does that banking mean? That is the receipt of money in current or deposit accounts and the payment of checks drawn by and collection of checks also. So he is going one step further, in which he says not only payment of checks but also collection of checks paid in by a customer. So this is a somewhat broader definition than which we had seen in the previous slide. Walter Leaf defines a banker as a person who holds itself out to receive from the public deposits payable on demand by check. So you can see different definitions talk about some more and more aspects distinct to its definition. And finally, when we have made our definition, we have tried to cull out various meanings out of these definitions given by various experts from time to time and make a exhaustive definition of our own. Sir John Bagot, in his book Laws of Banking, states that there are four functions which persons desirous of being called bankers must perform. So these are the four specific functions performed by a banker, and if an entity performs these four functions, he will be very close to be called as a banker. So what are these four functions? Number one, take the deposit accounts, take the current accounts. So here there is a clear cut definition or requirement, deposit account separately and current account separately. Deposit account more or less is meant for accepting the deposits and giving some sort of interest back to the customer, whereas current account is basically a sort of business account wherein any interest may not be paid. It is basically for meeting the business transactions, whereas the deposit account is basically for meeting the savings requirements. The third, in addition to accepting deposits, this banker issues checks in the form of pay order, demand drafts, etc., as well as pay the checks issued by its customer, that is payment of money on behalf of its customer, which means paying of checks. The fourth thing is it collects crossed and uncrossed checks. In our Negotiable Instruments Act, we understand the meaning of crossed and uncrossed checks. Crossing simply means some sort of instructions given by the customer on the face of the check. A cross check marked account payee cannot be paid across the counter. It has to be credited in the account of the customer in whose name the check has been issued. So a banker becomes responsible to understand the instructions in the form of crossing or uncrossing of checks for his customer. So these four activities, if performed, then that entity will be called as a banker as defined by Sir John Bagot in his books or in his book called Laws of Banking. His main business, as we have seen in the previous slide, is banking, from which generally he should be able to earn his living. So it is not a no profit, no loss business. He is specifically doing banking business. It's a commercial banking meant for earning profits from his business. So this activity not only includes the service given to its customer, but this service comes at a cost which gets culminated into profits for the living of the banking company. So one by one, as we see more and more definitions, the concept of the banker gets more and more clear. H.P. Sheldon, in The Practice and Laws of Banking, says the principal business of a banker is to receive money from his customer. So the first part of the definition says the principal business or the core business is to receive money from his customer. The second part of the definition says and to collect instruments representing money. What are the instruments representing money? it can be a check, it can be a bill of exchange. So this collection of instruments representing money also forms a part of the banking which is done by the banker. And on what basis is he accepting money or the instruments representing money? On the understanding that he will refund all money received or collected, received in the sense of when he is accepting money, collected in the sense of when he is collecting the bills of exchange or checks, sends it to the paying banker, collects the money from the paying banker and finally credits it to the customer's account. This is what we mean by receives money or collects money either on demand or at some predetermined future date, especially bills of exchange, especially Usan's bills of exchange. This money is collected on the maturity date of the Usan's bill. So hence he does this activity of collection at some predetermined future date agreed upon between him and his customer. So this particular Sheldon definition brings out some aspect of collection of instruments representing money, not only collection on the basis of demand, but such collections can also happen on the future date. So friends, try to understand, every definition tries to bring out something new but inclusive activity of what a banker does. So let's see some more. H.P. Sheldon further says that a banker is also a lender of money. So in the previous slide he had said accepting of money, receiving for collection of money. Now he is moving further and he says a banker is also a lender of money either by way of loan or by way of overdraft or current account. So what does this mean, a lender of money either by way of loan? Either by way of loan means he's simply giving loans to the borrowers, or when the account is overdrawn, which means it has exceeded the balance, maybe the balance is zero, in spite of that the withdrawal has been made. So bankers sometimes allows it to certain extent and charges interest on such overdrafts, which is also a form of credit delivery to the customer. So the first part covers the lender of money either by way of loan or by way of overdraft on the current accounts, which are specifically business accounts. Second is, he goes one step further in case of a bills business. In the previous slide we had seen collection of Usan's bill for getting the money at a future date. In case of your bills which can be paid immediately after recovering some sort of commission or discount out of it, by which the customer gets immediate credit and the banker gets the credit on the maturity date, banker charges some sort of discount or commission or fee for parting the money before the maturity date, which is in the form of discounting of bills as well as promissory note. This purely depends upon the credit worthiness of the holder of such bills or the promissory notes. So one more aspect of banking, in addition to receiving money, receiving bills of exchange for collection, lending of money, we have got one more aspect of a banker, which is in the form of discounting of bills and promissory notes. He can play a great role for the purpose of remittance. Now we see lots of electronic modes of remittance, which comes in the form of NEFT, RTGS, ECS. But what was happening when there was no such electronic modes of remittances? In those days, or even to some extent in the current days, the banker had issued or issuing drafts, letter of credits and traveler's checks, and accepted on behalf of his customer of bills drawn on the authority of letters of credit, etc. So this particular aspect simply focuses on the banker's role on the remittances, which can be in the form of issuing demand drafts, issuing letters of credits on the basis of the requirements of the customer or the exporter or the importer. Traveler's check, nowadays nobody knows what a traveler's check is. Most of them use the credit cards or the prepaid cards. But there were days when people hardly knew anything about the plastic money. They had to carry money in their pocket in the form of traveler's check, wherein the banker used to issue them paper checks, which needs to be carried to say a hotel, issue that or submit that traveler's check in the hotel for booking your room in the hotel. This traveler's check get instantly converted into money, and especially useful for those travelers who don't want to carry money in their pocket for the fear of losing it. So traveler's check requires the signature of the customer whenever it is encashed across the counter. Hence, it was a sort of safe paper money carrying the pocket, because any intruder may not be able to actually produce the same signature of the customer as it appears on the traveler's check. And hence, such form of remittance was highly useful for the customers, and hence that aspect was also considered by the banker, which has been brought out by H.P. Sheldon in its exhaustive definition of a banker. G. Crowther's definition, what does he say? He says a banker is a dealer in a debt, which means he is supposed to return something which he has accepted, his own and other people's. So that debt can be his own or other people's. The banker's business is then to take debts of other people to offer his own in exchange, and thereby to create money. So in short, what does it say? It accepts money, it lends money, and this cycle of accepting and lending means banking, according to G. Grothers. MacLeod's definition, which is a tongue-in-cheek definition of a banker, what does it say? It says the essential business of a banker is to buy money and debts, and hence a banker is therefore a dealer in debt or credit. It's a very tongue-in-cheek. If you really understand the meaning of it by collaborating with the previous definitions, you will get every smallest granular meaning out of it. This is the reason when you try to understand the concept of a banker, banking, banking company, etc., you need to collaborate the views, the opinions of experts, then you get a clear meaning of what this term really means in practice. Having seen the definitions of various experts, what does the law say? Does the law define a banker? What it does is define banking and then state who a banker is. If you ask a clear definition of who is a banker, you may not find that in a law. But if you try to first understand what is banking, then you may try to arrive at the meaning of the term banker. The Banking Regulation Act 1949 defines the business of banking, as we had seen in our previous chapter, and goes on to say that anyone who acts as a banker, that is, accepts money to lend or invest, is a banker. So what we have seen in this slide is, once you understand the meaning of banking, then as per Banking Regulation Act, it states that anyone who acts as a banker, which means he accepts money to lend or invest, will be called a banker. Hence, banker is an inclusive definition. You cannot clearly define the term banker since it is not explicitly mentioned in any law. Section 3 of Negotiable Instruments Act 1881 again gives an inclusive definition of the term banker and states that the term banker includes any person acting as a banker, which means, in as per the previous slide we have seen, accepts money to lend or invest, accepts money to lend or invest, and hence the banker includes any person who accepts money to lend or invest as per Section 3 of the Negotiable Instruments Act 1881. Section 2 of the Bill of Exchange Act 1882 states that the word banker includes a body of persons, whether incorporate or not, whether incorporate or not, it need not be incorporated, but who carries on the business of banking. Again, it specifically mentions it carries on the business of banking. Again, it boils down to accepting for the purpose of lending or investing. Hence, Section 3 of Negotiable Instruments Act 1881, as well as Section 2 of the Bill of Exchange Act 1882, both definitions gives us an inclusive definition of the term banker. Hence, we have to take in totality what our expert says, what our law says, to arrive at a clear meaning of the term banker. So how can we conclude the real meaning of the term banker? A banker accepts deposits of money from anyone, what we say as a public. It can refuse to open an account of undesirable person. This thing was applicable in the ancient days and strictly adhered to in the current days because of the KYC norms, which we are going to study in your chapter 13. So a banker has a right to refuse to open an account of undesirable person, even though we say it can accept deposits of money from the public. So the public does not have a right to open an account. It can open an account only and only if it fulfills the terms and conditions mentioned by a banker. Banker can repay money to the depositor on demand. Depositor in turn can withdraw money only through a draft, check, order, etc., because this specifically instruments are to be used for withdrawal as per the terms and conditions signed by the depositor, unless he has an alternative way of withdrawal, which is in the form of modern withdrawing tools like your ATM cards, your credit cards, etc., etc. Thus, the banker is an intermediary and deals with money of the public. It also renders certain services such as collection of checks, as we had seen in the Sheldon definition, demand drafts, discounting of bills, etc. And if we go as per the banking definition or the functions of banking, as per Section 6 of the Banking Regulation Act 1949, we have a wide range of services which a banker can offer in addition to its basic services of accepting deposits for the purpose of lending or investing. Hence, we are now clear with the terminology of the term banker. We have seen what the banking business is. We have seen whether everyone have a right to open an account, even though the banker accepts money from the public. And after this, we are going to see the importance of being a banker. The importance of a banker comes from the basic fact of providing such an important service of accepting your savings. Friends, try to understand the older days wherein money was kept only at homes. Lots of theft, looting, etc. could have happened. This entire thing is eliminated when you have a safe option of keeping your money in a regulated entity, which is called a bank, and you can take that money as and when you require for your personal use, for your business purpose, and whatever purpose you need. Finally, whatever money you keep and withdraw comes back into the economy, and that is how the economy grows and flourishes. This is one of the most important activity of a banker, which provides services, and finally these services are provided to the economy. So such an important activity a banker does. Second most important is provides investment opportunities to the individuals or groups. Now, the products that are developed by the bankers are not simple vanilla products. There are so many hybrid products which offers you not only to keep deposits in a saving account, but it helps you to earn interest as you keep deposits in the fixed deposits. At the same time, you can make withdrawals as you can make in your ordinary savings account. You can also divert the funds from your deposit accounts to various other investment options in the form of mutual funds, in the form of shares and debentures in the form of gold and bullions in the form of commodities. So what does that mean? Such facility of investing your money in different money tools again is facilitated by a banker. Suppose you don't know what to do with your money, you need not fear about it. Here again, the banker plays a role of advising you, appraising your real worthiness and sanctioning loans for productive purpose. So even if you don't have money with you and you have a real capacity and capability to do something in the form of productive activity, the banker will try to appraise or understand your real potential and can even go to the extent of financing money so that you can do your productive activity without having real money in your pocket. It also performs many other functions to uplift and upgrade the living standards of the people, corporates, as well as the country. With the current CSR norms, the corporate social responsibility, bankers are playing a lot more role for upliftment of people. Some of the banks even go to the extent of adopting villages, providing schemes for educating the masses, providing schemes for creating self-employment, and this finally helps or culminates into uplifting the standard of the people as well as making our country from developing to a developed country. Thank you, friends. That's the end of Chapter 10.